My name's Tony, and before we get into our preach this morning, I just want to introduce a little bit about why we're doing what we're doing. Over the past few months, we've been sharing from and studying together the Old Testament book of Nehemiah and lessons we can learn from the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And one of the key messages that we can learn from this book is the need to build on secure foundations, the things we cannot see, upon which the wall, the things we can see, can be built. Next year, we believe it is right to focus on what these foundations are for our own lives. And as a leadership team, we're currently looking at putting together a comprehensive series on the key biblical foundations. Not just to know about them, but so that we can all actively build our lives upon them, to help us live firm and unshakable lives, something we all need in these changing and challenging times. However, there is one key foundation whose birth we will be celebrating in a few weeks' time, and his name is Jesus. And keeping to the building analogy and the need for firm foundations, Jesus himself was referred to as the chief cornerstone. In biblical times, a cornerstone was used as the foundation and standard upon which a building was constructed. Once in place, the rest of the building would conform to the angles and size of the cornerstone. In addition, if it was removed, the entire structure could collapse. In the Bible, there were messianic prophecies spoken of Jesus as the cornerstone. Isaiah 28 says, "Behold, I am the one who was laid as a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation." Psalm 118 speaks of Jesus the Messiah, stating, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record Jesus, referring to this passage as finding its fulfillment in him. The Apostle Peter also spoke of Jesus as cornerstone. And in 1 Peter 2, he notes, "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So, our next series, taking us up to Christmas, is to be about the foundation of Jesus. However, as it is coming up to the Christmas season, it only seems fitting that we use one of the most well-known biblical verses about Jesus to do this. A verse which is used in Christmas carols and Christmas cards the world over. And that is the prophetic verse from Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This verse alone reveals so much about Jesus as our cornerstone. So starting this morning with Leslie, we will be looking at Jesus as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Jesus as Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And finishing with Isaiah 9 verse 2, Jesus as a light shining in the darkness. I really hope and pray that together, as we enter this Christmas season, we will get fresh revelation of just whose birth we are celebrating and why we can truly build on him. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Leslie to come and share on the first of this series, Wonderful Counselor. Leslie.
Good morning. I'd like to add my welcome to you today. It's great to be with you, even if it's online. I still feel that we're being our church, our people that are together, the living stones that God is building into his church. Felt a bit like a pantomime just then, without any more ado. However, this is not about a pantomime. This is about our Saviour. This is about a person that we know. This is about his life story. And this is about how he helps us every day. And I think I just may as well just start now. Because actually I've had real revelation just going through this about the wonder that God has done through Jesus. So if I get too emotional, I'm not even going to really apologize, because actually it's God. God is such a good God. And so I just want to give him the glory, because that's what Jesus does. That's what the Holy Spirit points us to. This is what it's all about. So I'm just going to read again from Isaiah 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And you know what? That just about says it all. That is our Christmas. That is what we should be focusing on. This prophecy was given by Isaiah to Israel as a promise of hope. It was about 700 years before Christ actually came, but it was a prophecy about what God was going to do for his people. And it was amid the time of the Assyrian invasion. It was a promise of hope. And it was of the coming Savior who would deliver, who would bring his people out of being locked down to some extent. It's what we're in now. They were actually taken by other people. They weren't free. They were slaves for others. And they were oppressed. But God had a plan. This was to establish his kingdom for his people through a Savior, Jesus. And actually what we're going to look at is how Jesus came as both humanity and yet divinity. It's marvelous. You can't comprehend it. And this is partly what it's all about. But the prophecy finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, as we're going to see later. So just a little bit more of a background. The Hebrew word for wonderful counselor is peleoits. I don't know if I've pronounced it quite right. Pele. The first word means a miracle, a marvel, a wonder, indicating something extraordinary, incomprehensible, inexplainable. I'm a teacher. I like to be able to explain things, show things, demonstrate things. But this is unbelievable. And yet, it has touched so many people the world round, through decades, through centuries, because it is the outright truth of what God has done for us. The second term, yoitz, means to advise, to counsel, to devise, to purpose. And both definitions combined reveal that the child will be miraculously born to become an amazing advisor who marvelously works in all things for God's purposes, because the Holy Spirit dwells in him with all wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, and honor, glory to God. So firstly, how wonderful is Jesus? And actually, I am so glad I get to do this first one, because I've had such deeper revelation going through this at the wonder of Jesus. Just how amazing it is that God sent his son down to be with his people as a man. So the Pele word shows that Jesus is exceptional. His unique. His incarnation is amazing. It's a miraculous act of God who came from heaven to earth to be a man. Why would he do that? Because he loves us, because he loved his people. And this supernatural work of God made Jesus fully human and fully divine. I don't know how that happens, because it's marvelous. So Jesus was fully man and yet fully God incarnate on the earth. And he's here for us. And it's just like, wow, God, you love us so much that you would do that. Jesus was made by a miracle. Lots of people say, well, I don't understand how Jesus could have been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? We don't have to understand it. That's what marvelous is. That's what it means, something incomprehensible. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, sent by his Father God, and conceived of woman, fully human, fully man, marvelous. And that creative spirit of the Holy Spirit, the creative power, is in us. We'll come to that in a minute, but it's just wow. But even more miraculous and amazing is the fact that we enter into a new relationship with God because of what Jesus has done. We're not just forgiven, we're not just restored to have a relationship, but we are made perfect through Christ. Our past is gone, our past is dealt with. We are a new creation because of what Christ has done. And that means our thinking's changed. We think more in line with God's purposes for our lives, God's destiny. And we can call Jesus our friend, our brother. Wow. When I was a child, I went to church. It was quite a high church of England, and I'm not getting at anybody. But nobody ever said Jesus loves you. Nobody ever told me that Jesus died so that I could have a new relationship with him. And yet that is what it's about, a new relationship with God because of Jesus. And it's just like, wow, God, you loved us so much that that's what you would do for us. Okay, so we become a new creation, a new man. We can have new ways of thinking. Having our minds transformed by the power of the same Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that conceived Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that created the earth. Amen? Amen. So Jesus, in Isaiah 11, verse 2, it goes on to say, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And I think a lot of things today, we've lost that fear of God. We've become very, we know him so well, and sometimes that we just lose that awesomeness. The fact that God can do anything. He is miraculous. His Son is miraculous. And Jesus leads us into that fear and knowledge of God in the right sense. And you know what? Jesus is ultra, ultra qualified to give the best advice. He is number one if you are looking for counseling or advice and you're going through any sort of dictionary or any sort of media about how to find and you Google. Jesus should be top of that list. Jesus has the wisdom of God, the creator of the universe. He is the wisest of the wise. And he is qualified in a way that no human counselor or friend could ever be. As a child and young man, Luke testifies in the gospel that Jesus himself continued to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with both God and man. So even Jesus had to live with the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with the Spirit. He was a fulfillment of that prophecy from Isaiah. And it goes on to say that Jesus was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. This is in Luke 4. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. So for 40 days he had nothing to eat. He went through all sorts of testings, discouragement, and yet he was helped and advised by the Holy Spirit. And he learnt how to overcome the situations that he went through and the circumstances. And you know, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, I tell you what, so do we. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit or you're not sure whether you are, check, ask God. He is more than ready and willing to pour himself out and to help you. And in Luke 4, Jesus goes to the temple on one occasion and he picks out one of the scrolls of Isaiah. This is 700 years after Isaiah had written it, and it was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." And you know, that wasn't just a prophecy by Isaiah of the fact that Jesus was to come. That was a prophecy for you and me today, that actually this is the time of the Lord's favor. He is ready to anoint us. He has anointed us to set people free. And there are so many things going on in the world that we need to have that deep in our spirits, in our understanding, that as much as Jesus was anointed, he passes it on to us. And when Jesus had finished saying and going back over that prophecy, he rolls it up and sat down, and everybody in the synagogue was sort of looking at him, because I think it suddenly dawned on them. And he said, "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." That scripture was fulfilled in Jesus, and it continues to be fulfilled in his people even today, and will carry on. So that was his purpose, to bring good news, to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Okay. So how can Jesus help us? First of all, he is who he says he is. He is the Son of God, and yet he is fully man. And he can help those of us who've accepted him as Lord and Saviour of our lives. And yet it goes way beyond our understanding. We can personally seek him to help guide us in everyday life, not just in really difficult situations, daily things that we might not be sure of, situations, circumstances, relationships. And in Proverbs 2 verse 6 it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." And if you're ever not sure if that's what Jesus is telling me to do, or that's what the Holy Spirit says to do, it says in James 3 verse 13, "There are two kinds of wisdom." And it goes on to say, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." If you're in a situation or a circumstance and you're not sure if what you're hearing is from God, check it out. Is it pure? Is it right? Is it the way of peace? Because if he's telling you, go and stab somebody, go and punch somebody up, I know Nehemiah did that in our last series, actually, I'm not quite so sure that that's really the true guidance of the Holy Spirit, because it brings you into a place of peace. It brings you into a place where it gives God the glory. Okay. And if we don't understand anything or are struggling to get God's perspective to help us in a situation, there's another promise. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And if we think, "Oh, I just don't understand that," actually spend some time, read about it, think about it, pray about it, put some praise tapes on. And you know, your mind will be renewed and you'll say, "Ah, I see it now." If you're struggling in any situation, relationship, circumstances, and you feel you need help or seek advice, God is always ready to pour out his wisdom for those who humbly ask him. And in James 1 verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault." He's not going to give you a bit of a lecture first. He's going to give you the wisdom that you need. He might, however, bring you to a place of conviction first. God disciplines us because he loves us, and sometimes with the Holy Spirit he can point something out that we're doing or that we're thinking, and you know, that brings a conviction in our spirit, in our hearts, and it's like, "I know I shouldn't be doing that, I need to change that." But it's not a condemnation. God does not bring condemnation. He brings a conviction, and it's that leads us to repentance for doing our things our own way, for the wrong thoughts that we've had, even our wrong ideas of God. I used to think of him as a really, really strict headmaster, and that he was going to start telling me off if I did anything wrong. That's not God's heart. God has a heart that loves us, and he wants the best for us. He so wants the best for us. He let Jesus come to earth and then die, so that I could have a relationship with him. I mean, that is just marvelous. That is what we're talking about, amazing. That is a wonderful counsellor. So you might be saying, well, how exactly can Jesus help us with his Holy Spirit? First of all, through his word, through the Bible, through praying, through advice, talking to other Christians, other members of the church. But God does still offer us free will. He's never going to let us make the wrong decisions intentionally, but we have a choice. And it's up to us whether we go with his counsel, with his wisdom, with the ways that he would go. However, I believe God is gracious enough if we make the wrong decision, but with the right heart, that he's big enough to bring us around. He's not going to let us stay in a difficult position just because we've sort of slightly misheard or weren't too sure. He's a good God. However, it does little good to know the answer if we are unwilling to act upon it. It's also usually preferable for someone who's going to give you advice that you know them well. And you know, nobody knows us better than the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because of the Holy Spirit. He knows all things. He knows what we're thinking. He knows the situations we go through. So he is super qualified on a superhuman level to give us advice and counsel. He understands and empathizes with our problems and offers us mercy and grace, not condemnation, but conviction when in need. And because of these biblical promises, we can trust Jesus to listen to our problems in prayer and respond by guiding us into the right direction. Jesus, fortunately, does not give bad advice. It's against his nature. We know that he always has our best interests at heart and loves us so much more than we can comprehend. Wonderful counselor. Amen. And in this COVID pandemic, our worries and anxieties are probably more than usual. We have different things to do, different ways of operating. Even going to the supermarket isn't what it is. Waiting in a queue isn't what it used to be. You just want to get it done quickly and sometimes just get out. So our anxieties and worries might be higher than usual, but you know, Jesus is greater. He knows us inside out and he loves us to seek advice from him. Maybe we've forgotten that actually he's there for us every day, 24/7 helpline. And it says in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Doesn't matter if you pour out your heart to him when no one's looking in your lounge, in your bedroom. You can tell him. He will give you advice. He will give you peace. Doesn't that just put everything into perspective these days? So what does all this mean? Jesus is called the Wonderful Counselor because he alone can give us proper guidance, bring us into the truth, give us help and deliverance through his wisdom and through his miracles. He causes everything to work together for our good, for the greatest good of mankind and for the glory of God his Father. Paul stated in Colossians 2 verses 2 to 3 that the wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ, the mystery of God, that wonderful, awesome mystery that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all one. They are the Trinity. And he goes on to say, Paul says, this is what I have asked of God for you, that you will be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. And Tony was talking a little earlier about the fact that we're looking at Jesus, our cornerstone, the cornerstone of our faith. And it just says here, Jesus ties us together, our love for him and for each other. And you know, that's one of his greatest commands. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbour as yourself. His two greatest commands that he wants you to obey. And it goes on to, Paul goes on to say, that you will have the rich experience of knowing Christ with real certainty, real revelation, and clear understanding. For God's secret plan, now at last made known, is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the mighty, untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you knew there was a parcel under the tree for you with your name on it that had all wonders, all wisdom, all knowledge just packaged for you, why would you leave it there? And that's God's offer to each and every person. It means that the secret things of God revealed in and through Christ. We can know God and have a personal relationship with him. Jesus is the perfect revelation of God, and he knows everything about everyone. And I'm going to finish off with what Jesus said himself, some of his words that have been recorded. Jesus himself promised, and this is his last piece of advice, his last piece of counsel. And he says in John 14:26, but the helper, we have a helper, he sent us a helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. And even now, Jesus can, the Holy Spirit can bring back to you things that God said to you, that Jesus said to you decades ago, promises he made, hopes, dreams, visions that he put in your heart through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And I read the Passion Translation, it just completely blew my mind. In Luke 4, and I'm going to get emotional, no apologies, just a warning. It says, and this is what Jesus says, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend, just like me, just like Jesus was on the earth. He went back to heaven so the Holy Spirit could be here for each and every one of us. And he will never leave you. There is nothing that you can do that can make the Holy Spirit leave you. And it goes on to say, the world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. And Jesus goes on, I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer, but you will see me because I will live again. And you will come alive too. Do you know, when I started having a relationship with Jesus because I accepted into my life, I knew that I had hope that my life would be in eternity because of the Holy Spirit. And it just took all fear of death away. And Jesus goes on to say, so when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. When I became a Christian, I realized that Jesus died not only to make me a new creation and to bring me into a relationship with God, but actually his Spirit lives in me. Isn't that wonderful news? That is just absolutely amazing, that the Holy Spirit, the wonderful counselor, part of Jesus that points to Jesus, lives in me. And if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he lives in you. And he goes on to say, loving me empowers you to obey my word. Wow. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. It's just blows your mind. It's awesome. It's miraculous. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak on my own revelation, but the words of my Father, the words of God. I'm telling you this while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free, that was the reason Jesus came. That was his anointing, and that's our anointing, to set people free, free from depression, free from fear, from anxiety, and so many other things. And it goes on to say, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things in the name of Jesus. Not for the Spirit, for the glory, for the Holy Spirit, for God's glory. And he will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you. And as you read through the Bible, as we go towards Christmas and we're looking at all the different things and we're spreading the good news, we will be inspired because of the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives us. That is just wow. Because I have the Holy Spirit living in me, I can recall and understand what Jesus meant, why God sent him, what God has on purpose for me, for my life, for his church. Christ in you, the hope of glory, as it says in Colossians 1:27. That is marvelous. That is just wow. Christ living in me, the Saviour of the world, man and God, because of the Holy Spirit. And he finishes with, I leave the gift of peace with you. My peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Be courageous. And I'm thinking, wow, why did Jesus say that just as he was about to leave and the Holy Spirit was coming? And I suddenly realized, because in John 14, verse 12, it says, we will do even greater things than Jesus did. And it's like, wow, you have done everything. You came to earth as a man. You died to set us free. You sent us the Holy Spirit in return. And we now have the same power that you have to be anointed, to set people free, to love people, to tell them the good news that God loves them. He doesn't condemn them. And it might be that you've never had a meaningful relationship with God, or like I used to be, you've thought on him as more of a headmaster and someone who will condemn you. And you know he's not like that. But if you've never asked him for help, this might be the day to do it. This might be the week, the time for you to ask God to help you. And then I think maybe we've lost that wonder of God. When I started to go back through this, I thought, wow, yes. To some extent, I'd lost that wonder, that awesomeness of what God has done. The fact that his Holy Spirit lives in me. And if we get nothing back over Christmas, but the fact that we have a fresh, deeper revelation of what Jesus has done and how much God has loved us, do you know what? That is the best present of all. That's the present that I want underneath my Christmas tree. It could be that maybe we just need to have our minds transformed, because we don't quite understand the ways of God and they just seem a bit strange. Ask him. He is more than willing to help you. If you're not too sure, get counsel from another Christian. But you know what? Jesus did a miracle. That's why Isaiah prophesied 700 years before he came that he would be wonderful counselor, that he would be that Prince of Peace. And if you've never really thought of about him today or had that relationship, do you know what? He's just there. It is just like that Christmas present waiting to be opened. And a whole new life, a whole new way of doing things. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to leave it there today. But I am going to pray that you get revelation of the truth of what Jesus does and the truth that the Holy Spirit lives in us to help us, to give us that courage, to actually give us that anointing to do what Jesus was purposed for as well. Amen. Father, I just thank you, God, that you are such an amazing, wonderful, loving Father. Lord, I thank you that you sent Jesus as a man, that he could totally identify with what we would have to go through, and yet he did it because of the Holy Spirit. And that, Father, as much as he points to your glory, Father, I pray that we do. Christ in me, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are always there, ready, with your arms open wide, to just have a chatter, to help us, to give us your counsel. And, Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you want to live in me, that you want to live in us, that is your dwelling place, and that is where you find your peace and provide us with peace as well. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Leslie, for that. It is so amazing that Jesus is such a wonderful counselor. And he said, I will send you another counselor. The Holy Spirit brings the same wonderful counselor to live within us, that we can hear the counsel of God and bring it to others. It's so amazing. Thank you for that message, Leslie. So that's it for now. Don't forget, after the meeting, the Zoom Cafe, and tonight at 7, we have the prayer. God bless you. Have a great day.